Ding, ding, let's go. Okay. It's a long journey. It's a very long journey. It's a very long journey from the front of the hall to the fucking blackboard as well. But there you go. That's life. Maybe tomorrow we can make a little gap here, you know? Shit, get out of the fucking way, eh? Make a jump. I'm not a fucking horse, man. Okay. The three steps at the end of the 33 steps of the infinite self, right, are called quest, fusion, and then the initiate. I can't spell it. Okay. And I'll just talk about these three first, even though it seems like I'm doing the end at the beginning. But that's how I like, huh? You start with a dessert, coffee, main dish, starter, soup, aperitif. Okay, the quest is the sacredness of this journey. And your life has to become sacred. Otherwise, it has no meaning. Do you follow me? And how do you make something sacred? Well, there is no way of making anything sacred other than just by concentrating on it and saying this is sacred. So if I had some holy relic from, you know, the church, you know, and I could say, well, this is St. Matilda's toenail or something, okay? It's only a fucking toenail in a box, unless you concentrate on it and say, this is sacred. Then you can have pilgrims come and pay you God knows how many thousands of pounds just to look at this toenail. But what makes anything sacred is the fact that we concentrate upon it and say, this is sacred. There is no other way of making it sacred, okay? And to make your life sacred, you have to concentrate upon your life and make it sacred. So that could be rituals, it could be prayer, meditation, you could light incense, you can put 25 candles and soak in a bath for an hour, you can make love to your husbands, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, and make it sacred. You make everything that you do sacred. So if you're doing the washing up, that can become a sacred act because you're concentrating on it. In fact, love is actually concentration. So when you fall in love, okay, romance. Romance is actually a disease that comes from over-concentrating on another person, right? But in the end, that's what love is. Love is concentration. It's like putting yourself aside to concentrate upon the needs of somebody else. Putting yourself aside to concentrate upon the needs of humanity. Putting yourself aside to concentrate upon the pain of humanity and hope to heal them. Putting yourself aside to concentrate upon goodness, putting yourself aside to concentrate on whatever. So you make your life sacred by basically saying this is sacred. You make it important. And then you have to have your own priorities and your own boundaries. So there are certain things that you decide you want to do in your life and you go ahead and you do them. And you don't let people push you and pull you and tug you out of the way. So you say, hey, every morning at 4 a.m. I rise and I meditate. And that's my program. You know? And it doesn't matter if you come home at 3:30 drunk as a skunk. 4 o'clock, you're going to do the meditation because it's sacred to you. Then there's a morning when you decide bullshit to this 4 o'clock thing and you throw it out and do something different. But sacredness is just a matter of making your life important and concentrating upon it. So you have to empower yourself and you have to love yourself. This is not an egocentric, egotistical thing necessarily. It's just a matter of saying, wow, if I have the power and I concentrate upon myself, my life will become more powerful. When your life's powerful, you can talk to somebody and you can demand something in a friendly way, and they'll give it to you. Ding, ding, I want it. I was in a plane the other day, and I don't like biscuits. I don't eat biscuits. But I saw this American cookie, and I hadn't been to America for a long time, so I ate this cookie. And it was delicious, like a chocolate chip cookie. And there was this really, really sort of wimpy TikTok nerd sitting next to me who was some kind of architect. And I just turned to him and I said, give me your cookie. Just like that. That's the exact words. I'm not exaggerating. Give me your cookie. And he sort of went, well, didn't you get a cookie? I said, yep, I got a cookie and I ate it. Now give me your cookie. It was the most fun I've ever had. Because he went through this unbelievable trauma of shall I, shan't I, will I, won't I? And suddenly he really desperately wanted his own cookie. And he picked it up, he put it down, he picked it up, he put it down. He opened it a little bit, put it down, opened it a little bit more, you know. And I knew in the end that he couldn't hack giving me the cookie. So then he started eating it like, one, two little tiny bites, you know? So I nudged him again, you know? I said, see the guy across the aisle? Tell him I want his cookie. And this guy gone, I said, just tell him. Say, this man here wants your cookie. I was only playing a game, but I thought, wow, well, you get the cookie, man, you know? It's like life. You go into the boss tomorrow and you say, listen, when I first signed up for this job, I was weak and insecure. And when you asked me how much I wanted, I couldn't value myself, you know? So I only asked you for a few thousand kroners a week. I want 100 grand. Fuck you and your little dog too. Give me the money. I believe in myself now. My life's sacred. And if your boss can't see you at 100,000, tell him, okay, ding, ding, ciao. Because sometimes the easiest way to get a big pay rise is to move to another company, isn't it? Because they don't know what an asshole you are yet, you know? And plus, if you came in at like 15,000 kroner a month or something, you know? Sometimes it's very hard for people to see you at 100,000 kroner a month because they're sort of used to you being a suffering servant, do you follow me? So sometimes you have to quit one job and move in at a higher level. But the point about Quest is, it's sacred, this journey. And you only have a small amount of time. Not that there's a rush, but we only have a certain amount of time. And every one of us here have wasted 10, 20, 30 years. You know, when we signed up for Arseholics Anonymous, we wasted a lot of time, you know? So make it sacred. Make your sexuality sacred. Make your life sacred. Make your money sacred. Make your spirituality sacred. Make it all sacred. And as you get disciplined, and as you begin to center and control the mind, which is a central part of how you grab this infinite self and how you actually see these other worlds, then eventually the next step is fusion. And fusion is that moment when it all comes together. You know, almost like a welder with some metal and he has this hot lamp and he can fuse two pieces of pipe together and make them whole. And it's really the fusion between the yin and the yang inside of you. Each one of us is androgynous, and androgynous means sexless. So you're not really female or male. You are an eternal spirit that has no sexuality. It's androgynous. And in the fusion, you get to that androgynous state. You know, you get to this infinite state where you actually join with God. And joining with God is not a holy moly spiritual bullshit. It's just joining the humanity. You know, being able to look at total strangers and say, I love you. Try doing it tomorrow at the traffic light. I love you. Huh? What are you, some kind of poof? You say, no. I just love you, brother. What do you want? I don't actually want anything. I just love you. You know? The fusion inside of yourself is the joining of the yin and the yang. It's a joining of the feelings. It's a joining. It's a point where the mentality becomes settled. It's the point where you learn to accept. And one of the steps in the Infinite Self book is acceptance. It's like, don't fight, accept. Don't resist, accept. If today is your last day, accept. And it only becomes sad if you haven't done anything with your life. But if you've done something, if you've traveled, if you've seen, if you've been, if you've helped people, if you've experienced, if you've loved and you've lived, and you've listened to the great operas, and you've seen the great paintings, and you've been to the theater, and you've been to the races, and you've been to Cannes, and you shagged your fucking brains out for weeks down there with a toy boy, and you've done something, then if today's your last day, what the fuck? You had a good time, didn't you? In English, we say, I had a good run for my money, meaning, you know, like when the horses run well, you bet on it. Even if it comes second, at least you had a good run for your money, you know, at least, you know, you entertained yourself. That's fusion. Fusion is where you consolidate inside yourself, where you go beyond having to explain yourself, where you go beyond the guilt, where you go beyond the pain of your dysfunctions. You know, some of you that were abused as childhood, it's sad, it's part of your karma. But get over it, ducky, you know? You can't stay abused forever. You people say, well, I was so poorly treated and we were so poor and stuff. Hey, okay, so that was your karma, you know? Fusion says you're rich. You're not only materially rich, but you're spiritually rich if you can open your heart. Most people have a heart chakra like a flea's arsehole. It's about this big. You know, why? Because to open your heart means you have to become fearless. And you know, I was saying to you, most of my journey this life has been how much fear could I hack? How much fear could I take? How brave could I become? In the end, bravery is your only option. I say it twice. Bravery is your only option. Because otherwise, you're perpetually a victim of your fears. And you're not only a victim of your own fears, but you're a victim of all the fears that people place upon you. You know, they say, oh, you must be careful of this, and you must be careful of that, and you don't do this, and don't try that, and what if you lose your money, and what if you do this, and what if they run away, and what, you know? Fuck that shit. Be brave. So when you look in the bathroom mirror tomorrow, and you're putting your makeup on, or you're having a shave, or you're doing both, just tell yourself, bravery is my only option. It's the only option I got. And sometimes I take people out on really, really, really spooky journeys. I have these tours called transcendental tours. You cannot describe them. They're more transcendental than most people can hack, you know? It's a lot of transcendence very quick. And some of them are very joyous, they're very entertaining, and we go out at night and we have heaps of good fun, but some of it's really scary, you know? And it's scary for me as well. You know, and I tell them, we're going out today and we're going to be shit scared all day. Bravery is the only option. Let's go, ding, ding. And that's your fusion. That's the point where you don't have to explain yourself anymore. In the older days when we used to do the Warrior's Wisdom seminars, and they kind of became a little bit of legends, really, because they were so strange. In the early days, I used to make people dress up in funny outfits. In the end, I dropped the idea because it was too complicated. But I'd make people, like, let's say, for example, hire a chicken outfit, okay? And let's say you work in a bank. So you hire a chicken outfit, and on Monday, you go to work in the chicken outfit at the bank, right? And you're not allowed to explain yourself. You just arrive at the window, and you start cashing people's checks, answering their inquiries, transferring their money, you know? And when they say, why are you wearing a chicken outfit? You say, what chicken outfit? In other words, you don't bother to explain yourself. And I had three guys in one of the seminars that were part of a commando military unit in Australia. And they were part of A Company commandos. And it's a very famous unit in Australia, in the Australian regiments, military regiments. They went to the camp dressed in ballerina outfits with tutus and tights and the whole bit. Now, these are military men with huge muscles and tattoos, killers, been to Vietnam, blah, 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 all that bullshit, you know? And they just went back to the military camp dressed as ballerinas. And the sergeant, you know, the guard at the gate at the camp saluted them. Fucking amazing, huh? And they just walked in their ballerina outfits. They didn't explain themselves. It's really hard to do if you're a military man. Any soldiers here in the room? Try it. You know, just to arrive, you know? Try walking backwards for half an hour. Down the street backwards. Just keep walking backwards. And don't explain why you're walking backwards. You know? Or take your dog and dye it pink. You know, and go to the office with his pink dog. People say, why is your poodle pink? You said, I don't know, it must be something it ate. You know? The point is, it's the fusion is you cannot actually heal all of the pain of your life. Do you see? It's sad, but you can't. All you can do is have enough energy to go beyond the pain. You can't heal all of your inadequacies. I can't heal mine. You know, I'm seriously dysfunctional. I'm proud of it. I have a PhD cum laude in dysfunction. But I'm not trying to heal my dysfunctions. If I ever woke up one morning without my dysfunctions, I'd totally feel fucking lost, you know? I'd say, what is the matter with my life? I feel okay. You know, I can't heal my dysfunctions, and I don't want to heal them. I like my dysfunctions. You can't get past your fears, all of them. So just agree to be scared. Just be human. People say, what's the matter with you? So I'm completely scared shitless. Love me, God, I'm scared. You know, I remember lying in bed 3 nights ago, I had this really spooky experience. I was just lying there saying, love me, God, I'm scared. love me. That's it. That's all you can say, you know? That's fusion. The fusion is when you know you've done your best. You know that you have compassion and benevolence for humanity. You know that your power can heal people. And you will never be perfect. You'll never be the perfect mother. You'll never be the perfect father. You'll never be the perfect employee. You'll never be the perfect boss. You'll never be the perfect professor, the perfect airline pilot, you know? Maybe you will smash them into the mountain, you know, boom, all 350 of them, you know? And when you're all in the out-of-body state hovering around the plane crash, you can just say, look, I'm awfully sorry, love me. I put my foot on the wrong pedal. I mean, it wasn't a big mistake, but ding, ding, what can you do? And once you realize that, you become so free. Do you see how liberating this would be, how your life would become so liberated? You'd have so much energy. Because one, you wouldn't be judging yourself. And two, you wouldn't be working hard to become perfect. You can just embrace the infinite self, and the infinite self is not perfect. It has the potential to be God because it is God. But it isn't perfect where we are, later maybe, you know? 10 trillion incarnations from now, you know? Maybe we're really strutting around really arrogantly perfect, you know? But in the meantime, we're just a bunch of fuckwits. Let's do the best we can, you know? And so the fusion comes in that moment when you can sit and relax. So first, you see, you can sit and relax a long time before you have the power, because you can become complacent in a tick-tocky little place and say, this is it, you know? But it isn't really it, is it, you know? But once you reach that quintessence, we use in English, it's a difficult word perhaps, but when you reach that peak of power in yourself, then, hey, the power keeps coming, the power keeps moving, and you relax. And if people don't like it, there's not much you can really do, is there, you know? Because you didn't really come to please people. You know, God didn't say, listen, go down to earth and please people. You know, some people will be thrilled to meet you, and other people will throw up. You know? Just, bleh, bloop, you know? Some people will love you, some people will be frightened. Some people will like you, some people will think you're a complete idiot. So what? You know, you can't be perfect, you know? So whatever bitterness, let it go. Whatever wars you've had to fight in your life, let them go. Whatever arguments, let it go. Let it go. Just get over it. You know? Get over it. I'm going to talk tomorrow about the shadow, you know, that dark part of ourself, you know? Can't talk about it tonight because it takes a bit too long because there's a lot of shit in there. But you got to get past it all. And that, for me, was the hardest part, was the consolidation where I had to make myself right, especially as I'm so different to all the people in my industry, you know? He's very dangerous. And it's like I suddenly thought, wait a minute, can I be a spiritual teacher, you know, and get up there and say, listen, fuck you and your little dog too? And I thought, of course I can, because one or two things is going to happen. They're either going to hate it or they won't. You know, can I have a vodka and tonic on stage if I want? Yes, I can. Why? Because where does it say you can't have a drink if you don't want, you know, if you want a drink, have one. You know? Sometimes, not very often, I like to smoke a cigarette on stage. Especially where we're at very uptight places, like the sort of Whole Life Expo in Atlanta in America, where, you know, Americans have this carrot up their ass, serious, man, you know? I love to light a cigarette, you know? In a New Age conference, right next to the no smoking sign, you know? To practice, you know, it's like wearing a chicken outfit, you know? If you haven't got a chicken outfit, rent one. You know, rent a chicken outfit. And don't explain to anybody why you're dressed as a chicken. And that's a way of saying, hey, we're dressed as chickens all the time, aren't we? You know, we really are. You can't see the chicken outfit, literally, physically, but we're dressed as chickens. Look them in the eye and be calm about it. You know, when a policeman says, who are you? Say, who the fuck are you? You know, that's believing in yourself, isn't it? Most people would be all, ooh, sorry, sorry. Fuck off, who are you? You know? Little dog comes and sniffs your luggage, fuck off, boom. Do you believe in yourself? You just believe in yourself. And then if people are abusing you, you have to draw a line, a boundary. Then you have to be good at telling people, listen, I love you and there are certain things I won't accept, you know? I will not accept you abusing me, You know, I will not accept you having sex with other men, let's say, because that's your, you know, you want the person to be faithful. If you want to go have sex with other people, then piss off. You know, I will not accept you spending my money and not giving it back to me. I will not accept you using my car and not bringing it back, or whatever your boundaries are. But you can have any boundary you like, as long as you just tell people what your boundary is. They're not clairvoyant necessarily, so they don't necessarily know what you want and you don't want. But you just tell them, hey, I've just done a bit of fusion. Fuck off and stop taking my money. And once you get to there, you're free. You see, and most people think this journey is complicated. It's not complicated. It's unbelievably simple. All you got to do is stop thinking. And we all think way too much, you know? It's what I call in my books, overthinking on life. There's no such real term in English. But it's like, you know, where you're churning your mind, you know? Don't think, drink. It's simple, you know? It's so much simpler, you know? So tomorrow morning, if your brain's going like that, have like half a pint of vodka before you start the day. You'll soon stop thinking if you drink enough, you know? You won't give a shit. You'll be so relaxed. I mean, you may not make it to the office on time, but hey, that you didn't come to be perfect anyway. You tell them, listen, I've got the flu. It's so much simpler. You know, it is so much simpler. And I think if I have parted one piece of knowledge to people over the long time that I've been lecturing is, hey, you're beautiful. You're gorgeous. You're much more gorgeous than you think you are. You're much more beautiful than you think you are. You're heaps more spiritual than you think you are. Because spirituality is your natural benevolence, your compassion, your humanity. That's it. Spirituality is where you help people, you're kind to people, you advise people. That's spirituality. Sometimes being a complete idiot is spirituality because people can look at you and think, wow, look at her, she's crossing the traffic lights when she's not supposed to. So you're offering them a lesson, aren't you? You know how to go, up yours. So it's such a simple journey, really, and yet we make it so complicated. And so I came to see, like, wow, fusion, simple. And then beyond fusion is this other world, many other worlds. You know, where you do arrive in the world of the initiate. And in that world of the initiate, you're still human, you're still physical, you still have to tend to your body and feed it and look after it and wash it and clean it and so on. But you are straddled, you know, you're across two or three more different worlds, you know, you're in this other world. And then your perception becomes so acute. Really fast, you can read people's minds. You can watch them thinking. You can move your etheric left, right, you know. I have a band of female wizards that travel with me sometimes. And you want to see them go. You want to see how fast they are. They are so fast. They can jump in your mind and come out in 2 seconds and read it. They're fast. And you cannot even tell they're doing it. They're so quick. They are so quick. And these are very elegant, very well-dressed, often well-educated, ordinary women that just went through the doorway with me. I mean, it's taken them many years. They didn't do it in 15 minutes, but they did it. And they're fast. They're really fast because they got the power. And have they got the power because they were blessed with it or something, or the angel Gabriel descended on their head at some point, you know, when they were 16? No. They got the power because at some point somewhere, they met this completely arseholic Englishman, half Italian, African, white man, who said, you got the power. And they believe me. You know, and little by little, they figured out, yeah, wow, I got the power. And they got the power, I'm telling you, they're really strong, really strong. They're not just strong women, you know, in a masculine world. They're quick. They're really fast with their perceptions. And that's part of the journey, awareness. You know, and then awareness, with awareness comes responsibility. But that's another discussion about what you're going to do with the awareness that you have, you know? And what are you going to do with all of this power? But first, you've got to get it. Then what you're going to do with it afterwards is up to you, you know? We chase after Nazis. That's what we do with our power. You know, we chase after people that are tyrants. And the women will chase after somebody. And they'll check into the same hotel, let's say. And then the five of them will come out of body. And they'll fry them and come back in again. All in a matter of minutes. Bing, bing. And that's how they chase after him. And they try to turn evil people into better people. And you might say, well, that's slightly infringing, isn't it? And I'd say, yep, it's very infringing. But there you go. There's a war on. Ding, ding. Because we're living in a world that is becoming more and more fascist every day. You know, techno-fascism, you know? Rules, controls, regulations, silicone chips, credit cards, fingerprints, blah, 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 eye scans. You know, one day they'll bottle your fart and keep it and identify you with that, you know? And so we have to push. We've got to stop them doing this stuff because we want to be free. We don't need all this crap, you know? We don't need it. We just need to be free. Okay, yeah, we have to have some laws because you can't have everybody running amok, you know? Or you can't have everybody deciding which side on the road they want to drive on. You know, we've got to have an agreement. We're going to drive on this side or that side. You know, but other than that, we don't need a lot of laws, you know? Because most citizens are law-abiding, they're kind, they work hard, they're happy to help other citizens, you know? And sometimes they freak out, you know? So we've got to handle them when they freak out. We've got to cure them or look after them or build some psychiatric institutions that will help them or heal their pain or whatever. But, I mean, in the end, our societies are very orderly. You know, we don't need all this fascism, you know? So my particular game in this lifetime is, you know, using the power to liberate people and to stop the fascism, basically, as much as I can. And now, after 15 years, I've got people everywhere. And all of them were like fringe dwellers and, you know, lost souls and deadbeats and broke, you know? And now many of them, multi-zillionaires, very powerful people. And they're in the top of the big churches, in the top of the big corporations, in the top of the big TV stations, in the top of the film companies. And they're all in there, and they're fixing it. And that's, in the end, is our responsibility, to fix our brothers and sisters. Because if we don't fix them, who will, you know? So anyway, you all have a responsibility, if you develop your power, to get in there and fix them up. It takes dedication. It takes energy. It takes that sense of wanting to help people, you know? I don't mean just giving them money, because giving people money doesn't fix it for them. It just holds them up and helps them be more arseholic, you know? But if you actually help with their pain, if you actually give them back their power, you can help them enormously, you know? And it takes silence, it takes discipline, it takes power, it takes dedication. Sometimes it's dangerous. And then in the end, if we don't pull ourselves up, who will, you know? We need everybody to work on this project of giving people awareness and pulling them up. And it does take dedication, you know? I'm going to finish in about 5 minutes' time, 10 minutes' time, because I've got to be out of here by 10 o'clock and I've got to sign some books. But before I do finish, I want to tell you a story about a guy who really, really impacted me in this lifetime. And he had silent power like you wouldn't believe. And I was working on a project, and this guy showed up. It was a construction project. And he came along and he said, I'd like to build a Japanese garden here on this building site. And we said, well, we have no money to build a Japanese garden, you know, and we don't need a Japanese garden. And he said, no problem, I'll build it anyway. So we said, okay, build the Japanese garden. So he started building this garden, and his dedication was that while he built this garden, he wouldn't eat. Just wouldn't eat. So every day he'd come to work at 7 o'clock, and this was in California, and he'd be moving these amazing logs of wood, just walking with them. I mean, unbelievable weights. And he'd take them and he'd dig a hole all day just to put one log in the ground. Then he'd move rock. Then he'd move trees. And he'd work all day. And at night, he had this little harp, this little Jew's harp, which is that little metal harp that you place against your teeth. And it makes that very strange kind of wanga, 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 wanga noise. And he'd stay in the garden at night. He wouldn't go home. He'd sleep in the garden and he'd play this harp and he would guard his garden. And he'd look at the energies and he'd watch the energies. And then the next day, he'd move logs, dig, move rock, and he never ate. And every day I used to watch this guy working. I couldn't believe that he'd work in the hot sun without eating. Ever, never ate. He did drink, but he didn't eat. He drank water, mostly. And I'd watch him every day, and he never talked. He just built this Japanese garden, just carried on building it. And sometimes at night, I'd go and sit with him, you know, like at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'd listen playing him, playing this little harp with his mouth, ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding, really haunting. And I'd look at this guy and think, fuck, this is power, man. This is pure power. This guy is so humble and he's so strong, you know? He just carried on building his garden. He built the garden in 42 days without eating. Just built it. And when he built it, it was beautiful. It was an amazing Japanese garden. And nobody helped him. He just built this garden. That's all he did. And as soon as he finished building it, he disappeared. Just left. No, he just left. He just left. He didn't ask for thank you. He didn't ask for, wow, isn't this amazing? He didn't ask, did you like it? Did you not like it? He built this garden more or less in silence, day and night, for 42 days, you know? And then left. And I thought, wow, that's dedication. You know, that's it. That's the power. You know, and it says so in the Tao, you know, when your work is finished, leave. And I know when my work is finished on this earth plane, I'm leaving, like within a second. Ding, ding, let's go. And he just built this place, and I learned from that man. I learned more from watching that man than I've had in all the bloody books I've ever read. Because I actually saw at a very young age what silent power really looks like. And then something amazing happened, right? I was walking through an airport, maybe 10 years later, and I saw him walking towards me. And he was with a woman and a small child, and he was carrying this small child, you know? And I was so happy to see this guy. I was so happy. And I called his name, you know? And he looked at me, and he smiled, you know? And he just walked up to me, and he stopped, and he just went like this. And he just bowed and walked straight past me. Never said another word, you know? And I'd spent so many nights in the garden with him, you know, just sitting with him, you know? And he just stopped, he bowed, and went straight on with his family. Never said a thing. And if he'd talked to me, it would have completely ruined his story for me. Do you know what I mean? It was so cool that he didn't say anything, you know? But I was so emotional. I mean, I love that man more than anybody else. And yet, it doesn't bother me in this lifetime if I never speak to him again, you know? Because he had the power. And he knew he had the power. And he didn't have to be grandiose. He didn't have to be flashy. He didn't have to explain it to anybody. He didn't have to explain why wasn't he eating. You know, why do you stay in your garden all night? Why do you play this funny instrument? Why do you do Japanese gardens? You're not even Japanese. He was European. He didn't explain himself. Didn't ask for any money. Didn't ask for anything. And the day he finished, he left. Didn't ask for thanks. Just wasn't there anymore. Ding, ding. And that guy taught me. He taught me what this journey is all about. You know? And each one of you has a Japanese garden somewhere to go build, you know? Build it. And when you finish, leave. Thank you. I'm going to take a couple of minutes break, and then I'm going to sign your books. I'll see some of you tomorrow. Ciao. Good night.